Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm thrilled that you're here because I am privileged to feature some incredible male experts who are here to give you insights into the hearts and minds of men, and also to help you understand how you can have better, healthier, happier relationships. And I'm here today with a returning guest, but it's been a while since Joe and I have connected, and that's the amazing Joe Amoya. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Michelle, how are you? So excited to be back again.
I'm so happy to have you back again. I missed you, and I'm so grateful that you're here to contribute to this year's Man Panel.
Yeah, it's, you know, as we were talking, it's amazing how this thing called life works, and sometimes things go full circle, and we're just meant to be apart for a little while, but here we are, beginning a new journey.
Yeah, so happy to have you back. And many of you may be familiar with Joe and his work. He's been doing great work out there in the world for a while now, but I want to give kind of the official intro. Joe Amoya is the founder and creator of GPS for Love. He is a premier dating and relationship expert who helps divorced moms break the cycle of roller coaster dating and dead-end relationships to find their ideal partner. Joe has been living his life purpose of helping others find true love since 2011. And we're actually going to be talking about this topic that is in Joe's wheelhouse about finding love after divorce or after a painful breakup. So Joe, first of all, I'm curious to hear kind of why you've chosen this topic and why you've kind of chosen this niche to work in. And if you can just share a little bit about that to start with.
Sure, absolutely. It's a great question, Michelle. And as you know, we're all kind of on this journey in life and we're always unfolding and evolving. And I know when I first started, I've got an amazing relationship with my wife, just like you do with your husband. And I was in such a horrible relationship before. I was literally 28 days from walking down the aisle thinking, you know, when you love someone, you're committed. You're supposed to be there through thick and thin, through good times and bad, because you committed to that person. Well, I was absolutely miserable. We were in counseling. I knew I was about to make the biggest mistake of my life. But the fear of what if you leave? What are other people going to think? Maybe you might not find somebody else, caused me to stay in that relationship, in addition to my being committed to the person that I thought I was in love with and who was supposedly in love with me. But long story short, we called off the wedding and did a lot of soul searching and said to myself, what is it that needs to change? Why did I get myself in this situation? Like, I'm a smart guy. I never had a really bad relationship in my life, you know, relationships where things didn't go well, but I never had a bad relationship. And this relationship was absolutely horrible. And yet I continue to stay for years. And so that led me to see, I got to do some things because I was partly to blame. I take responsibility for the role I played. And that's when I kind of went on this journey to basically find the love I was looking for. It was for nothing else, because I wanted that great relationship. I wanted to be, you know, the old couple walking down the road, holding hands, who still genuinely loved each other, but more importantly, liked each other. So I'm like, all right, what do I need to do to make that happen? That put me on this journey. And then I ultimately found the love I was looking for. Long story short, in my journey, realized this is my true purpose in life. So I had to walk away from a career as a chiropractor to help others find love. Talk about, you know, people thinking you're crazy. Like, everybody other than my wife thought I was insane. But that was my true purpose in life. And then I set out to help others find love. But in this process, I learned that there are some individuals, as you know, say they want a great man, say they want to, but they're just not ready for one. And there's multiple reasons for that. It could be stuff from their childhood. It could be stuff about men. They don't trust men. They are afraid of being hurt again. They have trust issues, whatever it may be for that individual. And in the process of doing this, I've really kind of learned to identify who I am best meant to serve. And for me, it's those individuals who are at that point in their life where it's like, I've been married. I've had that relationship. I love being married. I love being a partner, but I don't want to do it again with the wrong guy. Like, I want to get it right this time. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to date a lot, you know, a bunch of jerks. I don't want to kiss a lot of frogs. I want to get it right. What do I need to learn? And it's very similar to where I was in my journey. And that's kind of how I kind of niched it down, if you want to call it that, to me, I identify who I am best meant to serve. Because Just like in a relationship, we're not meant to be in relationships with everyone. There's certain individuals that we fit great with, and there's certain individuals that are toxic for us, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate you sharing some of your story too, Joe. And that must have been a very challenging situation you were in when you were 28 days from walking down the aisle to make such a courageous decision. But thank heavens you did, right? Because it doesn't sound like that would have led to a good outcome.
You know, and I hear that all the time, and I so appreciate that. Like, you know, oh, you must have been so courageous. I'm like, no, I was just in that much pain. Like I was that miserable that it was either, if I don't do this, I'm gonna die. So the decision literally, like once I knew that, we had a conversation where we both got real, then it was a matter of, well, why are we doing this? Like, I don't care how much money I'm gonna lose. I don't care anything that's going to happen other than I don't want my life to end up the way that I know it's heading. And that really was the decision process that went in. So I'd love to take credit of being this wonderfully courageous guy. And it may look like that from the outside, but it was literally a matter of survival.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I mean, I believe you when you say that. I think that that's the point that many of us reach in a relationship, you know, that ultimately ends in divorce or a painful breakup. I know I had a situation like that back in my decades of dating, where I got to a point in a relationship where it was definitely much more painful to stay than to leave. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying there. It was like, I cannot survive and stay in this much pain anymore.
Yeah, and I understand. I think that's why I had to go through that. But, you know, a relationship is supposed to make you happier. It's supposed to make your life better. So it's like the icing on the cake. Right. And so if it's not making you happier, it's not making your life better. And in fact, it's doing the exact opposite. Then you got to really like take some mirror time, do some self-reflection, go, why am I here? Why am I in a relationship with someone who's not enhancing my life and making me happier, making my life better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really excited about going into this topic with you because I feel like, and I want to hear your take on this, that when we come out of a painful situation, whether it's a breakup or a divorce or something like that, I think there's some things that we kind of have to be aware of about ourselves and our own vulnerability and kind of where we're at so that we can make those wiser and better decisions. So share with us from your perspective, Joe, like what are some of the key things that you might work with your clients on or some of the key things that you feel are important for them to know if they're in that situation?
Sure. Well, it really comes down from my experience to two things. Number one is you have to take responsibility for the role that you play. You know, one of the things I hear all the time, and it's interesting because I used to have a really big afro before I started doing this work. But then working with certain individuals, I started pulling my hair out. Right? Because you know, it's that human behavior is so ironic. Like we'll say one thing and do the absolute opposite. And it's so confusing when you don't really understand what drives humans to do what they do. So if you don't take responsibility for the role you play, you know, one thing, and I'm sure you hear it all the time, you know, I was with this narcissist and he was a jerk and he did this and he lied and he manipulated. And it's like, yes, you're giving him all your power, but you chose the narcissist. You stayed with the narcissist. You bought his BS for whatever reason. And that's not to make anybody wrong. But as long as you play the role of being a victim and you give the narcissist your power, you're not going to learn from it. You're not going to grow. And you sure as hell aren't going to be able to move on and create a healthy relationship. So you've got to be able to take responsibility for the role that you play. Then after that, the biggest thing is you have to have closure on that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people throw words around all the time. And what I like to do is really get real and like talk of what these things really are. Because people go, well, closure, what do I need to go to therapy? The closure basically means you get to a point where you are can emotionally accept what has happened and where you are. That's really all it is. Now, there are processes and things people need to do to get closure. Like for me, after my relationship, I didn't need to have closure because I walked away knowing I did absolutely everything I could to make that relationship work. But what helped me was taking that responsibility and said, I picked the wrong person for the wrong reasons. And I stayed in the relationship for the wrong reasons. So just by dealing with that part, I had the closure and I was able to move on. That's why some people can come out of a marriage or a relationship and the relationship has been over for years or months. So they're able to put an end, close the door and move on and go find another healthy relationship. Other individuals can have a relationship that ended years ago, but they've never taken responsibility or they haven't gotten to that point of closure. And so they still carry all that stuff with them. And it literally weighs them down and it holds them back from being the relationship partner they need to be to go forward. Because if you have unresolved stuff from the past that you haven't healed or you haven't taken responsibility and you don't have closure, it's going to surface somewhere, somehow. That's how this universe works. And so if you haven't dealt with it and you haven't gotten that closure, it's going to manifest somewhere, somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so say again what you believe closure is. Say that one more time. I just want to emphasize that for our listeners.
So closure is basically getting to a point where you have emotional acceptance of your past. So you can be at the point where I accept what has happened. I release it. I don't carry it with me anymore. It's like, think of it like a door. It's literally closing the door and being able to go forward. But if that door is open, it's going to creep forward and it's going to follow you around. So think of it like a dog behind the closed door. It's just going to follow you around. It's going to keep nipping at you and it's going to keep barking and it's going to keep showing up somewhere, somehow, until ultimately you get that closure. And one of the biggest mistakes I see people make, whether it's after a marriage ends or a relationship ends, is they don't do the work. They don't take responsibility. They don't get closure. And they think, if I just find somebody new or somebody better. And basically they keep repeating the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wonder, I don't understand why I keep attracting the same guys.
Mm-hmm. So this might seem obvious, but I'm not sure if it is. What are some of the signs that someone doesn't have that closure yet?
Right. That's a great question. And it really comes down to what I call the biggest sign. And that's what I call a victim consciousness. Like, I am not happy because of this. I am not successful because of this. I can't have a successful relationship because of this. And if you look at our world and our society, the majority of our population has a victim consciousness. And I'm not judging because it's not my role in life, but I'm observing. So everybody, whether it's their level of fitness, their bank account, their career satisfaction, their relationships, it's always somebody else's fault why they're not happy, why they're not successful. And as long as you blame everybody else and make them the problem, you're never going to be able to see what the real problems are, make the correct adjustments, and then go forward to be successful in whatever area of your life it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know, and I want to explore this a little bit further with you, because I know for a lot of women, the closure piece is really important. I mean, I can't tell you over the years how many women I've spoken to that have said, I just don't have closure on this relationship. I don't have closure. So maybe they were in a relationship and someone just disappeared, mm-hmm. or maybe they broke up with them and they don't really know the reasons why. And so they don't feel like they have that closure. They don't feel complete with that. That's still haunting them. And so what can women do who are in, because we're speaking mainly to an audience of women, what can people do in that situation if they don't feel like they've had closure, like they haven't received what they hoped to receive from this former partner that gave them that information that would give them closure?
You know, that's a great question again, Michelle. And so I like to start by always asking questions, because I find most people live at the surface. They ask questions like, I don't have closure. How do you get closure? And it's not the closure, it's what's preventing you from having closure. So the questions that I would start off with is it I don't want closure, or I don't know how to get closure? Okay, is it I don't want closure, or I don't know how to get closure? Because people say, of course I want closure. I'm like, are you sure? Because see, there's a lot of power in being a victim. There's a lot of power in blaming other individuals, especially a man. And you have to understand how the brain works, is that for most individuals, there's a specific part of our brain that's designed to keep us safe and protect us. And so if your brain says, look, I've loved and I've gotten screwed. I've picked a guy and he was a narcissist and he screwed me over and he did this, or I did that. And all the horror stories that you've heard, Michelle, the subconscious, unconscious brain is going to go, I don't really want to go there. So what it will do, it will create a story to be a victim and to blame the narcissist, to blame the jerk, to blame the ex. And then it said, well, I don't have closure. Well, you don't want closure, because if you have closure, you're going to have to put yourself back out there again, and you might get hurt because you don't trust yourself to pick the right person for the right reason. So that's why these two questions are like really like vital. And then the other one is, if it's a matter of, no, I do want closure, I just don't know how to get it. Then it's a matter of, okay, doing the work. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently to get to a place of acceptance? And I wish, you know, I always hear, well, what is that? I wish I can say there's one thing you can do, because it's different for everybody. For some people, it's a matter of forgiveness for the other person or for themselves. Other people, it's a matter of healing something. There's something going on within them that needs to be healed. Some people, it's going to therapy. It literally is different for everyone, but you will never take the step and get the solution until you realize that I need to learn how to get closure and then start focusing on the solution versus the problem. Because the way the human brain works, there are different parts of your brain. So the part of the brain that's focused on the problem actually takes blood supply and intelligence from the creative part of your brain. So as long as you focus on the problem, I don't have closure, I can't have closure, it's too difficult, I've been screwed over, your brain is going to find evidence to go, you know what, you're absolutely right, you don't have closure, and here's why. It'll give you evidence. But if you say, you know what do I need to learn to get closure? What do I need to discover? What do I need to change? And you start moving forward from that place, then you might be listening to a summit. You might be going on YouTube. You might Google it. Something will come across your path, because the universe hears, because it's all vibration and energy, says, okay, now you're ready. You're no longer in victim mode. Now you're at a place to go forth and thrive. So here you go. And it'll support you, giving you whatever you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, you know, I think this is such a great question you're putting out there, Joe. Do you really want closure? Because I also think another reason we might not want closure in some situations is because there's still a part of us that's hoping that maybe this person will come back. You know, if you still have an attachment to this person in that way, maybe there's that's a way of hanging on and keeping that door open, at least on some level.
Yeah, 100%. And that kind of ties into the first is, I really don't want closure, because if I have closure, then I'm going to have to move on. Then I'm going to have to close the door, and I'm not ready to do that, which is cool. But now you're at the truth. Now you're like, I'm not ready to do it. I don't want to do it. And I'm not closing the door. Now you can take acceptance of where you're at. You can take responsibility and then go forward. That's where I was in my relationship. I wasn't ready to walk away. To say, that's it, this is over. Even everything was screaming in front of me. I had more flags than the United Nations. I just wasn't ready to have closure yet. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, is some people don't want closure.
Mm-hmm. And then I also think in some cases, people are wanting this person that they were involved with to be able to give them the specific and tangible reasons as to why something didn't work out, or they want some language or reasoning as to why this happened. And in some cases, I don't even think that person would be capable of giving that, even if they wanted to. In some cases, they might not want to, but in some cases, they may not even be aware enough or emotionally mature enough to even recognize what it was that caused them to do whatever it is they did.
Right, and I love that you say that, because I hear that all the time, and respectfully, that's BS, because that's what people have to tell themselves so they don't have closure. So the story I use is that, imagine, you know, if you're watching this, you're walking down a dark alley, and there's a guy who comes up behind you, and he grabs you, and he starts doing inappropriate things. Do you need to understand why he's doing it?
No. Nope.
Or you need to know, you know what? This is going to be bad. I need to get the hell out of here. Okay? So we don't really need to understand, but that's what we tell ourselves, because if I need to understand and I don't understand, guess what? I don't have to have closure. I don't have to move on. I don't have to face or deal with whatever I have to face or deal with. So this is just your brain's way of basically lying, keeping you in a world where you're comfortable and safe, even though it's not the world you really want. Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought that up, because I hear that all the time, and it's just BS.
Yeah, well, and I think sometimes we have had closure. We just didn't want to accept the closure, or we didn't get the closure in the way we wanted it. So in other words, if someone disappears and doesn't explain, but drops out of our life or treats us badly in some way, we've got some closure. They've shown who they are. That is some closure. We just didn't get it in the way we wanted, in the way it felt satisfying. We haven't got that tangible thing to say, this is why this person did this.
Yeah, it's that emotional closure, because we can see it in our reality, be okay, well, they're not here, they don't want to be here anymore. But have we emotionally accepted it? Do we have that emotional closure?
Mm-hmm.
We're really good at human beings as drinking our own Kool-Aid. You know, I call it drinking our own Kool-Aid. We will rationalize, we will justify, we will do whatever we need to do to appear right. But very often in doing so, we prevent ourselves from going forward and having what we really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I want to swing back a minute too, Joe, to the responsibility piece. Being responsible for our part in whatever the relationship, you know, whatever happened in the relationship. It may, again, seem obvious as to why that's important, but why would you say that's so important?
Well, because if you don't take responsibility, you can't learn for the role that you played. You know, I love language, I love human behavior. And so if you break the word responsibility down into two words, it's response and ability, which is really your ability to respond. Most people as human beings react and react emotionally, usually in very unhealthy ways. Responsibility is so that you can learn the role that you may have played, if any, so that you can then make the necessary changes to learn, to grow, to move on, to go forward, to make things different. But if you don't take responsibility, you're not going to learn, you're not going to grow, and you're not going to do anything different. You know, how many clients, Michelle, have you worked with over the years who haven't taken responsibility, who keep dating the same guys and keep having, and maybe even marrying the same type of guys? And please understand, if you're watching, I'm not judging anybody, it's not my role, but we're just shining light of the truth to see this is what people do. This is what a lot of individuals do, but those individuals aren't the ones who succeed. So how many clients have you worked with like that?
Well, many, and also in fairness, you know, I experienced this myself in my own love life. I mean, I dated for decades I felt like I was doing Groundhog Day on the hamster wheel, right? Over and over again until I got that I was that common denominator, and I was definitely creating or participating in the creation of what was happening to me. I was not a victim. I was not just having a series of bad luck men come into my life. It was in part what I was doing and what I was accepting and how I was showing up.
Yeah, and that you got to that point where I played a role in this, I take responsibility. Now I can see and grow and make the changes. And you know, what I've learned is that everybody's different. You know, in human beings, there's something called comparison despair. We compare ourselves to others. You know, well, this one got out of a relationship, she went and found somebody new and she's happily ever after. Well, that's her journey. She learned, she had closure, she took responsibility. Other individuals, it takes them longer. So you had to go through a series exactly the way you had to go through it to learn what you needed to learn. Because a year or two earlier, you wouldn't have been in position to learn that lesson.
Right, right. And I love that you brought up this idea of comparison despair, because I think that's something that is very hard sometimes for us as human beings not to do. And yet it's so counterproductive to our growth. In fact, you know, it's so interesting, Joe, because I feel like I'm pretty evolved and have done a lot of work. And yet, like 2 days ago, I was looking at an old college acquaintance Facebook page and this incredible life that they're portraying out there on Facebook, which may or may not be the total reality. But I got into that comparison despair even now for like 2 days. I was just feeling like, oh man, my life sucks. I haven't accomplished anything compared to this person. Look at what they've done. Look at what they have. And then I'm like, what in the world am I doing? It's been a long time since I went down that track, but I recognized, you know, it sometimes will come up and bite you unexpectedly. And when we do this comparison despair, comparing our lives or our journey to someone else's, we seldom are going to come up feeling good or feeling positive or coming up with anything that's going to move us in a positive direction. And I think it's so easy to have that happen in our love lives where, yeah, when she met someone online was the perfect person for her. And I've been out there doing this for 3 years and haven't met a decent guy yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's like walking into a movie and seeing one scene, right? Or reading a book and reading one chapter. You're only getting a glimpse of what's really going on. Because that woman who just found someone, where is she going to be in 6 years? Is she going to be with the same guy? Is he going to be faithful? Or are they going to be loving each other? Or are they going to be divorced? They're going to be broken up, having an affair. Like, you don't know. And that's why I think investing so much time and energy on other people and other people's lives is a complete... Now, we're all human. We all have our moments where, oh, I saw that. You know what? Why am I not there? Or why did that happen? There's nothing wrong with that. But it's when it happens consistently over time, that's when we have to look and go, okay, but what's this about? Why am I giving so much energy to this other person? As you said, who's portraying this? It may be real. It may be 100% genuine, 100% authentic, or maybe just the image that they're portraying because they don't want to be really honest, first and foremost with themselves. And if you can't be honest with yourselves, then you can't be honest with the world. And that's why I love in social media, the people who are really say, you know what? I cut, I bleed. You can be on talks and you can say, yeah, I screwed up. I was on watching Facebook the other day and I saw someone and it brought up some comparison despair. Right, because now we're all being real, we're being genuine and authentic. And to me, that's how you create a great relationship. You got to be authentic and genuine from day one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even if this storybook image on the Facebook page that I saw is real, it doesn't diminish or take away anything from what I have. So, you know, God bless them if they have that amazing life, right? And I also like to remind people that if you see other people who seem to have an easier time or a smoother time in the area of love, you know, they may have a struggle or a challenge in another area of life, or it may just be that, you know, that's their path. Your path is the things that you're going to learn from your path and your experiences. I mean, I would not be doing the work I'm doing today. You wouldn't be doing the work that you're doing today, Joe, if we hadn't been through some of the challenges and difficulties and the things that we learn through those experiences.
100%, Michelle. And, you know, as you said, we are all on our own journey. And I believe if you spend all of your energy or the majority on focusing on making your journey the best it can be in whatever way that is for you, then your life is going to be really cool. But if you worry about other people's journeys and why they appear to have stuff better, you know, I have a lot of friends who were in the music business. And I remember growing up and idolizing some musicians and then finally getting to meet them. And then when you get a peek behind the curtain and you're like, you know what? I wouldn't trade places with these people in a second. They may have accolades, world fame, a ton of money, but they're miserable. They're lonely. People hate them. And it's like, why would I want to be like that? Mm-hmm. So is really, you know, getting back to focusing on your journey and being the best you can be and experiencing what your heart desires. Mm-hmm. And putting all your time and energy towards that.
Yeah. So besides taking the responsibility and besides having the closure, what are some other things that people could do to set themselves up to have a great relationship, to find love?
So the first thing that I would suggest is understanding that a great relationship and love is simply a result. And when I say that, people are like, what do you mean? It's like, if you think about it, like if you just step out and take your emotions out of it, that's a goal, right? That's a result, something somebody is aiming for, wanting to achieve. Mm-hmm. Is it really any different than losing weight, becoming a millionaire, creating a successful career? It's really not. It's different, But it ultimately, the end result is it's a goal. It's a destination, a place you're trying to get to. So if you can understand that, then it's like, okay, well, other people have created that goal, have achieved that goal, have created that result, and are experiencing it today. What do I need to learn from them? And that's what I call learning the smart way. And that's how I live my life now. It's if there's any aspect of my life that isn't where I would like it to be, I go find people who are better at it, that I know, that I like, and that I trust, because there are a lot of charlatans out in the world, wolves in sheep's clothing, who, you know, paint a picture of sunshine and rainbows, and then you realize they're delivering a pile of crap. So you want to find people that are genuine, that are authentic, that really have the result that you want. And then you go learn from them. It just speeds up all the crap. It speeds up the learning lesson. There's less speed bumps, there's less challenges, there's less problems. You get hurt less, you waste less time. It's such a win in every way. So if you can wrap your arms around or your head around the idea that it's a result, and if other people have that result, then you can have that result too. You know, I just posted a question in my Facebook group earlier today. You know, do you believe online dating is a viable option to find love? And I love asking questions because you get a ton of opinion. And some are like, yes, absolutely. You know, I found love. I have this great guy. Other people are absolutely no. There's all society's rejects are online. And I'm like, what you believe it is. But why are certain people finding love online? I found my wife online. My clients, 95% of my clients find love online. I'm sure a large percentage of your clients find love online, because that's just the way it is for our age demographic. People our age are finding love online. You know, the clubs are gone. Those days, you know, most of our friends are married or having kids. They don't have time to hang out and go to singles events. So it's just where the greatest number of people are congregating and finding love. But why is it some people are succeeding and others aren't? Because the people who are succeeding are doing things differently than the people who are struggling or failing.
And on our mindset, the way we approach these things from a mindset standpoint can also make a huge difference in terms of our experience there online or in life in general. I just think our minds are incredibly, incredibly powerful.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the one thing we've been talking about is that, you know, what you believe, what you focus on, that's what you're going to experience in your life. If you believe, you know, you're not happy or you're not in a healthy relationship because of men, then the universe will go, you're absolutely right. If you say, you know what, there's one great guy out there for me. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently to go find that guy? And you put your focus and your energy and you find someone to help you, you're going to get there much quicker. That doesn't mean that you're not going to date a jerk. You're not going to date a guy who goes ghost on you, but you're just not going to, you're not going to give it all your energy. You're going to go next and you're going to move on. And you're not spiral back down into that victim consciousness. And that's, I see so many individuals, men and women, do the same thing. You know, it's not my fault. There's no good ones left. They've all been screwed over. They can't trust. They only want sex. You've heard all the stories. And not to say that none of that doesn't exist. Yeah, that's, you know, stereotypes exist for a reason. There's a large percentage of people who fulfill that stereotype, but that doesn't mean that everybody is. And when I hear that all the time, it's like nails on the chalkboard, because it's just that victim consciousness. You can't say all men are anything until you've dated every man on the planet. You know, just like we can't say, you know, all Asians are this, all Italians are this, or it's, you know, and I mean, you know, I'm a straight Jersey guy. That's the way I roll. It's ignorance. And ignorance is the biggest obstacle that keeps most people from achieving their heart's desires in any area. Now, I know some people are going to get triggered by that word. I don't mean that people are ignorant. It's just not knowing what's really going on. To me, that's what ignorance is. Mm-hmm. So I just want to emphasize that before I start getting attacked and getting all these emails.
I just think, you know, if we understood fully, Joe, the power of our minds, we would be a lot more conscious of what we allow to dwell there.
Oh, 100%. You know, it all comes down to that, you know, the focus, you know, our beliefs, our thoughts, because everything emanates from that. Mm-hmm. If you can tap into the power of your mind and align with it and use it creatively, strategically, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah, I think when we're speaking words, when we're thinking thoughts, we're actually in the creative process, and we want to be aware of what we're creating in our lives. Yeah. So I just think oftentimes we underestimate how powerful our minds are at our peril.
Yeah, well, I agree. What most people don't realize is that the unconscious mind basically dictates 96 to 98% of everything we think, say, or do. So everything we think, say, or do originates from our unconscious. So we're all walking around on autopilot, and most of us don't even realize it. And that's why it's so difficult for most people to make the changes, is because A, they're not aware of it, or if they're aware of it, they don't need to make the change, know how to make the changes at the unconscious level. And as long as the unconscious is like autopilot, as long as that autopilot is programmed to be a certain way, that's what's going to show up. So if you want to know how you're wired at the unconscious, look at what's showing up in your life. Mm-hmm. If you're only attracting dirtbags, then there's something going on at your unconscious that is focusing on the dirtbags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so true. When I finally got to the point where I was, instead of thinking the scarcity thoughts or the, I'm a victim kind of thoughts, I got to the point where I really believed, not just was saying this, but really believed I would meet and marry the man of my dreams. That was my little statement, my little mantra. When I got to the point where I really believed that, and that was what was in my mind, then I created that in my life. I was able to create that in my life after decades of dating. I used to joke and say I was going to write this book called Dating for Decades, chronicling my adventures and misadventures out there in the dating world. And I can see now, I couldn't see then until I began to understand that my own limiting beliefs and some patterns were not serving me well, were not bringing me to the place that I wanted to be. I was able to begin to move in that direction. I was in choice about it rather than just letting it run the show.
So Michelle, if you look back at that point when you were started to change your focus and change your beliefs on what you were going towards, would you say ultimately that you learned to embody that?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Say it again.
So you got to that point where you realized that, and you started focusing your energy on finding the man of your dreams and having the man of dreams and seeing the man of your dreams. Was it simply a matter of that, or ultimately got to the point where you embodied that and it became who you are? It wasn't.
Oh, no, I would say it became who I was. I did come to embody it. I came to not just, it wasn't just like words I was saying or just like a mantra. It was like, I was like showing up differently in the world. I was embodying that in the sense that I was no longer going to be, messing around with these guys that I knew were not going to be for the long term. I wasn't going to be distracted by this guy or that guy just because he showed up. I was going to be focused on moving in the direction of what I wanted with the belief that I could have that. And one really profound thing that happened for me that led up to me kind of going, wow, I've got some limiting beliefs. I'm telling you some background here. I was on a plane. I live in Salt Lake City. I was on a plane to New York City. So it's about a 4-hour flight approximately. And I was sitting next to this man, and he and I were having a nice conversation. It wasn't creepy or anything, but we had several hours. So we got into some pretty good conversation. And at one point he asked me, so are you married? Do you have children? And like out of me, it was like this voice involuntarily came out of me and said, no, and I don't know if I ever will find anyone. And I'm like that was the first time that I realized that was like an unconscious belief that all of a sudden just came out of my mouth.
Right.
It was like this voice came out of me and I'm like, what? Where did that come from? I'm telling this perfect stranger this. So that was like kind of like for me a wake up call where I'm like, wait, there is something going on inside here that I hadn't really seen fully before. If that came out of me to this total stranger, on some level, I believe that.
Right.
So then I got some support. And what I found in that process was that there were some limiting beliefs that had been functioning on more of the unconscious level that I didn't even know were there. And so it wasn't until I kind of was able to root those out and bring them to the surface that I could say, wait a minute, what evidence do I have for that? Why am I believing that? And what would be a different possibility for me? So then I was able to move into this place of, you know what, I can at least move into the place of possibility, that I do believe that it's possible for me to meet and attract the right person. And then that grew within me, kind of like the seed, to the point where I was like, I will meet and marry the man of my dreams. And that became like so much of a belief that I was showing up differently, which was your original question. Did I come to embody this? That I was showing up differently in the world and was creating different possibilities in terms of who I was allowing in, inviting in, and attracting.
Right. Yeah, no, 100% dead on. And that's why I asked, because there's so many, again, individuals out there where it's all about limiting beliefs, where some people could do affirmations till the cows come home, right? They can do declarations, they can tap, do all this stuff, but ultimately their lives don't change. Because at the unconscious level, they're embodying the person who isn't successful, who feels and truly believes in their mind and their brain, I'm never going to find it. So when you understand that the issue at the core is my identity of who I am, and my beliefs are a reflection of that, now I can use beliefs, but ultimately I need to change the identity. And
yeah.
When you do that and you embody that, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it got to the point for me where it wasn't just a belief or a possibility. I began to believe that it was inevitable that I would meet and marry the man of my dreams, because I was so clear at that point about who I was, what I wanted, and how I was going to show up in the world, that I felt very confident that I was being guided and moving in the direction in my life that was going to bring me to that point. And that sounds bizarre it seemed bizarre after years and years of being out there struggling in the ways that I did.
Yeah. I love that, because that's how this universe works. It doesn't arbitrarily pick and choose. It's all energy. So if you are the woman who struggles and thinks like a woman who struggles and talks like a woman who struggles and experiences actions as a woman who struggles, you're going to be a woman who struggles. But when you do that inner work and make the changes, and you now are the woman who is going to succeed, and you live that way, you speak that way, you act that way, you have clear boundaries, then it's just, as you said, it's inevitable. It has to happen. And that's why individuals like yourself make the changes and succeed, and others who don't wind up going, but you don't understand, it's not gonna happen for me. It's just not in the cards. And it's no, if it's in your heart, it's in the cards, but you gotta go do the work, you gotta make the changes.
Yeah, because you know, Joe, I don't believe that we have this desire for love put in our hearts just to torture us. I don't believe that. I don't. And it felt torturous to me during those years that I was struggling the way that I was, but I don't believe it's put there just to torture us. I believe it's put there to give us the desire and the motivation to figure out what's going to bring us to that point where we can have that.
I agree 1,000%. I call it setting the coordinates on the GPS. That's where you're meant to go. And that, I believe, comes from a divine place. And I respect people's beliefs to think whatever they want. But why, if whatever you believe in, whatever divine source you believe in, why would it put that kind of desire in your heart and go, psych, you can't have it?
Right.
That would be a twixted God, universe, whatever, that would do that and say, nah, can't have it. Not going to happen for you. I believe it's there because that's where you're meant to go. That's what you're meant to experience. But you don't get an instruction manual.
Yeah. So
you got to go figure out, what do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently? And to kind of circle back to tie it into what we started. You will never get there in that victim consciousness by not taking responsibility, by not having closure on your past. That absolutely has to be done to go forward and create a healthy and happy relationship. Then it's a matter of, okay, how do I date? How do I attract the right guy? How do I show up authentically and genuinely as the right woman so that when he sees me, he realizes I'm the exact woman he wants to be with. And when the quality guy finds the right woman, he doesn't care about all the other women out there. He doesn't have to go get sex from other women because he's found the exact thing that he was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so powerful. And I think you know, probably one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this work and you're so passionate about this work is we've experienced what it's like on both sides. We've been in the painful situation. You described your painful situation in that relationship. Thank heavens you didn't get married, but you know, the pain was obviously extreme there. I've been in a very painful situation where I just couldn't understand what was going wrong and why I kept ending up in these relationships that didn't work out and were so painful. And now we've also experienced what's possible on the other side of that. And that for me is like, if you're on this journey, I can just tell you on the other side of this, there's something that's really worth going through all of this for.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, getting to wake up every day to the person you love, the person who loves you, where you get to share your life and, you know, go have dinner together, laugh together, just be in each other's presence and truly make each other happy. And, you know, not to talk about the intimacy, but all of it, the emotional intimacy, the physical connection, the fun, all of that. You know, when I hear from people, oh, marriage is a drag, marriage is horrible, marriage. I'm like, absolutely not. It's like one of the greatest things in the world. And I'm a guy saying it. And I think that's why I was chosen to do this work. Because look, we all, not all, but there are a lot of guys that say, you know what? I have no problem being a husband. I have no problem being a partner. I love taking care of my wife. I love making her happy. I love doing things to her. I love doing things together. Doesn't mean my life revolves around my wife, because you need outside influences as well. You need outside activities and social interactions and friends and things like that, hobbies, whatever it may be. But you always have that one person to come home to at the end of the day who has your back. And it's like, there ain't nothing better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully our stories of struggle and also now finding a great relationship and marriage gives people hope. That's my hope.
Absolutely. That's why we're doing this, is because we have what we know other people desire in their hearts. And we went through the journey. We went through the pain. And we just want to make it less painful for others. Go ahead. We figured out, you know, maybe we can show you the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Joe, thank you so much. And thanks for dancing with me in this conversation. It's been great to just kind of like go a little deeper on some of these concepts. And I think it'll be really helpful to a lot of people listening. And I also want to give you an opportunity to share your free gift, which is the 5 stages of a happy, healthy, and lasting relationship. For everybody watching or listening, the link is right below the video or audio that you're watching or listening from. But Joe, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So in kind of observing when I was on my journey going, okay, why do some people succeed and others don't? Why do people have these rock solid relationships and others don't? What I also discovered that there are actually 5 specific stages that people will go through to ultimately experience a happy, long-lasting, fulfilling relationship. Now, some people, quite honestly, go through these naturally, almost, and they don't even realize they're going through them. But these stages exist. So if you understand that these stages exist and how to navigate them, the journey is going to become so much easier and so much more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that gift, Joe. I think that will be really valuable for people, because it is important to understand what a happy and healthy relationship looks like if you haven't experienced that or hoping to experience that. And I want to give you just a chance also, if there's anything you want to leave as a last word or a parting thought. And also thank you, Joe, for your contribution to the event.
No, well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me back. As you said at the beginning of this call, it's been a long time, but it's like, that's what I love about, you know, living life when you come from your heart and living authentically is sometimes, you know, you're in each other's lives for a season and then you come back and it's like, you haven't left. So I always love, you know, connecting with individuals like you who are on a similar journey. Like, we're all here just to help others find what we have. And, you know, for those watching, it's like, look, if we can do it, so can you.
Thank you, Joe. I really appreciate that. And thank you so much for all you've shared. And thank you to everybody who's watching. We really appreciate it, because we know that the fact that you're here speaks of who you are, that you're someone who cares about having an extraordinary life and extraordinary love. And we wish that for you and really appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for more of the Man Panel. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.